This conference is being recorded.
Hi, everybody. It's Sarah Armour-Jones from GFM. Just, I think the announcement you just heard, the call is being recorded so that we can have it available for people who are unable to make the call or for people who have to jump off early. So I think why don't we go ahead and get started? We've got a bunch of wonderful people joining us, and I will just introduce myself briefly. I'm a consultant to GFEM now. Some of you know me from working formerly with Alice and David at GFEM, so I'm happy to be back with you and speaking with you, and of course, really eager to hear about South by Southwest Interactive because I have been unable to make it there and am jealous of those of you who were able to attend. We're going to do introductions, but on a
Barbara Pyle.
Hi, Barbara. We're just getting started. Before we do introductions, just on a procedural note, if you're in a public space or typing, if you can mute your phone so that we're not all hearing train announcements or keyboards or anything, that would be great. And why don't we go ahead? I will introduce our guests. We have Helen Brunner. Wonderful, and Sarah Masters from the Hartley Film Foundation, and Helen, sorry, from Quixote Foundation, and I always think of you as Art Resources, but I'm sorry, but the Media
Democracy Fund.
Media Democracy Fund. So I go way back.
ancient history there.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't worry.
and we have John Schwartz from the, and I always botch this, on the International Telecommunications Foundation, but I'm not saying that right, and I apologize, John. John, do we have you here?
Yes, I'm here. I was muting myself.
I'm sorry.
So I'm now back.
You're back. Okay, I was just introducing you, and I think I botched your foundation.
Yeah, this is complicated because I run five different nonprofits that all give grants, and the largest of which is called Instructional Telecommunications Foundation. It's probably what
you
were alluding to.
That is what I was, apologies for that. So we have different reflections from you three on this, and then we will obviously open up the call to questions and answers from people, both delegation folks who went to South By, as well as those who didn't. So let's just go ahead and do a quick roundabout the call of who's joined us, and let's start with maybe East Coast folks so we don't have everybody talking over one another.
Well, I'm East Coast, Barbara Pyle Foundation and Captain Planet Foundation. Barbara Pyle.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bill O'Brien, the National Endowment for the Arts.
Jane Brown, Robert W. Deutsch Foundation.
Is that it for East Coast? I can't believe.
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Peter Kent.
Hi,
with
Peter.
The Special Foundation.
Patrick Sherlock, William Penn Foundation.
Our Masters, Hartley Film Foundation.
Hi, it's Amber French with the Proteus Fund.
I'm Helen Brunner, Media Democracy Fund.
Anybody else before we go sort of West Coast or Mid Coast?
Don't forget the Midwest.
I won't forget the Midwest, don't worry. Why don't we go West Coast now? Anybody joining us early morning for you?
This is
yes.
Pam with GFEM.
Hi, Pam. This is Ted Russell from the James Irvine Foundation.
Hi, Ted.
And what about that great Midwest?
Well, does Colorado count? John Schwartz in Colorado.
I think it depends on how Colorado identifies. Hi, who do we have joining us? All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Helen, you're going to graciously lead us off with your sort of overview of South By, and then we'll hear from John with some quick Q&A from him, and then to Sarah, and then finally like a larger Q&A.
Sure. Well, thank you, Sarah. And this is, you know, just one slice of it. It was an exciting trip, and I would encourage all of you who were not able to go next year to experience it. But for those of you who weren't there who will not be able to go, it's good to know that many of the plenary sessions were taped, and there are also podcasts of a number of the panels. And there's a Twitter thread for most of the panels, and many of those Twitter threads have links to notes compiled on a volunteer basis or links to slides. And the hashtag names for each of those panels can be found on the South by Southwest program site, as well as the links to the podcasts and to their YouTube channel, which is a way to see, I think, many of the, if not all of the plenaries. And there are a lot of sessions. So, you know, I, for one, will volunteer to, you know, compile a little list and send it off to Sarah of the ones that I thought were particularly compelling, and perhaps others who were there could do the same thing so that you kind of have a place to begin if you weren't there. I did only attend the interactive portion, although I think that there are others on the call who also went to film. I've been tracking South by Southwest from afar, and in great part because I've been tracking digital convergence for much longer than that, and concerned and interested in the implications for communications and for the field of policy, media policy, as well as social justice. I'm really glad that I went and experienced it in person. It's very different reading about interactive technologies and using a few of them here and there. It's also quite different to go to the kinds of meetings that I usually go to, which are the ones that are concerned with using these technologies in either campaigns or for organizing purposes or for illuminating and amplifying a socially driven message. This is very different. It's, I think, to borrow a word from Alice, one gets a little gobsmacked by the level of commercialism. But once you kind of get past that, it's really important to experience it firsthand. I've heard that there were anywhere between 12,000 and 15,000 attendees on the interactive part. So the numbers are a little overwhelming at first, but the tools to navigate the festival are very clear, and you kind of get used to the volume of people and the number of sessions. What I never quite got used to was being accosted by scantily clad young women asking me to either attend a party or ride in a promotional car or participate in a contest of some kind. I was particularly taken aback by the Pepsi contest, which was ostensibly based on voting for the best idea to quote-unquote refresh your world with a $50,000 prize for the best idea. But the vehicle that they used for that was a huge button that had the word vote on it, which looked like, you know, the Pepsi logo, which is very reminiscent also of the Obama campaign logo. And if you wore this huge, like, 2.5 button around at the conference, then you would get additional chances to win prize. And you also got to vote for what was your favorite idea for refreshing your world. And so this was fairly typical. The place was full of different kinds of contests, and often they had some kind of social benefit buried in the marketing, but it was really dominantly about marketing and selling that product. And I would say most of the kind of gestalt of the panels had to do with promotion, marketing, network building, but that's not to say that there weren't also panels on how to use interactive technologies for more socially engaged work. I will say that the panels that were addressed to social engagement for the most part were fairly well hidden on the third floor of the Austin Convention Center, which, you know, takes a little while to find, and many times we're in small rooms and they would be packed. So there was a fair amount of interest in that topic, although they were perhaps not given the kind of space that they deserve. Crowdsourcing was a huge theme running throughout the a number of sessions. Most of the ones that I went to around that had to do with journalism. One was, for instance, there were ideas for sourcing ideas for local stories that would need to be covered and then having that paid for by the community. A journalist could post a story that would get vetted, but a story idea, and then various community members could offer to pay for that story. That's spot.us, if you want to look that up on the web. It's kind of an interesting model for sourcing local journalism. Beth Cantor moderated what was a really excellent panel on crowdsourcing, in which she used the people in the room itself to kind of crowdsource the content for the panel, and in which the Twitter fall and Twitter was omnipresent, you know, in all of these sessions, but they actually had what they called a Twitter advocate there, and I saw this in a number of the other sessions as well, where there was someone who would aggregate the content from the Twitter feed and then present that back to the panel in the form of a comment or a question that they could then address. It was very interesting just as a shift in conference methodology that you usually don't see unless you're someplace where you're, you know, on a conference dealing just with the internet, but where the back channel of Twitter actually affected the content in any number of panels and sessions that I was in. Geolocation was a very hot topic. Foursquare was announced at South by Southwest a year ago and seemed pretty ubiquitous this year in terms of people using it and commenting on it in various different sessions. In the rooms that were on geolocation, when the people in the rooms were polled, most were using not just one but two geolocation programs to let their friends know where they were and to facilitate their networking. Issues of privacy were touched on but not thoroughly in the sessions that I was in, although I know there were others that I missed. And for the sessions I was in, most of the privacy concerns seemed to be sparked by a new site called Rob Me Now, which, you know, points to how easily some of these geolocation devices can be used for pointing out that your house is empty. But of course, so can Facebook, which has been around for quite some time. I mentioned that journalism was a theme. One of the panels that struck me was one that was moderated. Well, Jay Rosen was on it, and Matt Thompson, and a couple of others that were really devoted to how to provide additional context for stories and how to mitigate the episodic nature of journalism, so that rather than being hit by lots of different headlines like, you know, Rules Committee votes on XYZ obscure procedure around health reform, you're actually provided with the context of a story up front, and then rather than and then you go to the episodic stories. And so this is a site that a number of journalists have put together called, I think, In Context, where people can propose stories that they would like to see better overarching context on, so that they could actually understand, for instance, what's going on in Haiti based on, you know, the history there and the various kind of geosocial economic pressures on the community or reform or immigration, or, you know, the list goes on, obviously. Another situation, which was really on another panel, was on the future of influence, which was, you know, a little eye-opening and horrifying. And because the future of influence was really all about the future of getting people to buy your product or respond to your advertising. The CTO of the Huffington Post was on that panel and was extremely excited, not just about sponsored posts on the Huffington Post, which are not as surprising, but sponsored comments. They're developing a new program for sponsored comments in response to stories, which, depending on how those are or are not disclosed, I find fairly disturbing. Going to the trade fair, speaking of disclosure, it was very interesting walking through there. I kind of stopped after I had come to the third booth that was a new program or app designed to help you be in compliance with the new Federal Trade Commission regulations on disclosure, but at the same time not actually being obvious to your audience that you were disclosing that what they were reading was an ad. It was also curious to see that the New York Times booth was actually trying to sell subscriptions to paper, newspapers, and had all of their swag behind the piles of newspapers, and it was clear no one had purchased the swag, and, you know, everyone else was, of course, giving their swag away, you know, by the handful, and it just seemed like, it's funny because the New York Times has won many awards for their interactive work, and it seemed like a real kind of tone-deaf move on their part to have that kind of booth at that fair. We were very fortunate to have Joy Ito with us at the opening GFEM dinner. He has many titles in addition to being the CEO of Creative Commons, but he brought both an international perspective and that of a socially engaged angel investor. He also did a plenary during the conference, so I would recommend looking for that talk online. That would be one that would be certainly worth listening to. Other plenaries of interest included Dana Boyd, who touched on privacy issues, and I will thank Pam Harris for reminding me of this, that she works, remember when you're listening to it, that she works for Microsoft. But it's also, she also had quite a bit of data and interesting points to make around issues of privacy and was one of the few places where privacy came up. The Clay Shirky talk was also very well presented, although I heard someone else refer to it later as being so 2007. So I think that those are going to be my headlines and highlights for the moment, and I'm going to pass it over to John, who has a more seasoned view, having been to South by Southwest before, as well as NetSquared.
Thanks, Helen. I've been assigned two questions, one about how these conferences affected our grants portfolio, and the other was to compare the conferences, and I'm going to flip the order of those, if I may. I'm a little concerned that some of what I have to say is sort of idiosyncratic to our peculiar five organizations, but nonetheless, this is how it affects us. There are five different boards of directors of the companies that I run. They do some joint philanthropy, some separate philanthropy. Each one has its own policies and priorities, although they do all have media, you know, embedded in them. And this means that the way we work involves sort of a Zen-like embrace simultaneously of independence in each organization and connectedness in terms of what they do. And that's why these conferences, you know, are pretty important to us, because they help the connection. We typically send couple of staff people and, you know, as many board people as we can round up to these things. And the board members, each conference has a board member designated to write a 1 to 2 page memo about it. And then those are distributed to all the boards. And then in the most recent South by Southwest, we had our all boards meeting, which is typically a 1 to 2 time per year event, was embedded right in the middle of the conference, so that the bad news is that we missed the weekend, the two key days in the middle. But the good news is lots and lots of EBS board members got to go to these events. And I think that although it's difficult to say, you know, this grant resulted from this conference and this presentation, the fact that board members get exposure to these issues, both hearing from each other and going themselves, does help focus this issue for us. And I think it has improved both the level of sophistication in evaluating grants and the openness to doing grant things together. There have been some occasions when the EBS companies have gone in on support for new media things together. There's several instances of that. I don't think, honestly, that the conferences were central to that. I think it was probably staff connective tissue that was more important, but I think that they helped the climate to make that possible. I don't know what your exposure is in terms of wanting to get your board members involved in this kind of thing, but it's part of our culture. And I have a couple of board members who are quite sophisticated and have taught me a bunch of things. One of the factors that I should mention building on Helen's thing is that the location and the mobile interactive aspects of this involve highly scientific party crawls. And voting and so forth. And I did, in fact, go on a late-night party crawl with two of my more sophisticated board members who directed us in unerringly to various parties and locations. As to the big, you know, as to trying to compare these conferences and the takeaways, NetSquared is definitely a smaller conference that's oriented around what I would call the better angel of the new media. One of the features of NetSquared is that they actually have the participants vote for support for some of those presenting, and there are funders that provide grants based on these votes. It's not something that I personally am that enthused about, but it's, you know, it's part of that culture, and it's real interesting to see how that works. Helen explained in a lot of detail, it's like the commercialism is like a blast of Texas heat. And it's very obvious, and it's kind of puts our efforts in context. And in some ways, you know, this is not that different from the fact that commercial television got dominated commercially. And that going back before that, radio was dominated commercially in our country. The big difference is that this is, you know, global in character, and there certainly is a great sense of the rush of the new at all of these events, because folks are out there at the bleeding edge of technology, often for a lot of the wrong reasons. It's a challenge to me and to us, I think, to try and keep our chops at least halfway up to the task that we confront. I agree with Helen that Joy Ito was very remarkable. Humbling, I think, for me in particular, because he certainly displayed a depth of understanding that I don't possess. And it's just a kind of a benchmark of how far we have to go to really be fully fluent in this really rapidly evolving culture. The bad news is I missed a lot of South by Southwest 2010, so I think in a lot of ways I'm not the best person to comment on the contrast between the two events. It may be also that there's a certain process of getting immunized to the commercialism, which certainly struck me more the first year than the second, since I hadn't been exposed to it before. There's also the whole navigation system of trying to find what you want in such a vast sea of enterprise and ferment. I think I got a little bit better at that, and the more you go, I think the better that improves.
That's great, John. I want to open this up to folks because I know that you have to slip away. I wondered if you could touch on any of the sort of buzzwords or themes that bubbled up this year that folks should be knowing about or thinking about or trying to figure out. Is there anything that you heard about a lot or, you know, a person that was really sort of across the board at South By this year?
Well, as Helen said, geolocation is getting to be a bigger and bigger thing. Keep in mind that South By Southwest is overwhelmingly marketing-oriented. And what they really want to do is to take this to something that is not a complete reducto ad absurdum. They want to know all about you. They want to know all about your taste, especially your buying proclivities. They want to know where you are, and they want to be able to sell you stuff on a very individualized, very targeted basis. And any technology that helps them do that is something that they're going to be embracing. Obviously, the reverse side of this is really very disturbing privacy implications. I have kind of, I don't know, dinosaur 1950s privacy ideas, and they're not compatible with the environment that folks are trying to build.
This is Alice Myatt. One of the things to that point that was screened on the film side was a film called Erasing David. And I would urge everybody to take a look at the trailer on the website, erasingdavid.com, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And it's a combination of corporations and government knowing where you are and what you're doing every moment of the day, not even the waking moments, but, just completely knowing. And our hope is that we'll be able to screen it when we have our funder conversation in June. So I would just ask that you stand by for that. But yes, it's all about who you are, what you're doing, where you're doing it, who you're doing it with, and what you're buying.
Well, let's open it up for folks on the call for questions specifically for John because of his timing, and then we can move on to Sarah and have a bigger Q&A with Helen and Sarah in a little bit.
This is Bill from NEA. I was only there for one day, and I did attend a Gowalla panel where I was hearing a little bit about the geolocation applications and how they were designed, purposes were, and what they thought the future held. Other than Gowalla and Foursquare, were there other new geolocation applications that seem to be emerging? It seems to be a theme that's emerging. I was just wondering if there were new applications that I hadn't bumped into in my short time there.
Well, this is Helen. Both Facebook and Google have added a share your location button to their services.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll see more of that kind of thing cropping up. And there were more conversations about kind of other platforms where location could get added. And again, as both Alice and John said, with the primary purpose of marketing and of selling your data in real time so that, this isn't new, but, so that when you're on a site, you're being marketed specific ads based on not only the kinds of things you're viewing on the site, but also where you physically are.
Any other questions? Thanks, Bill. This is Sarah Armour-Jones from GFN. I have a question maybe in comparison with NetSquared and South By for you, John. With the social impact, we're hearing a lot about with geolocation and the commercialism and this endless marketing opportunity, but, where is the social change element and how loud is it, or is it louder at NetSquared? And do you feel like that there's a strong opportunity for social change movements at South By, or is it being buried under the avalanche of marketing?
I think if you could distill it down and find the people you want, you would find a very good representation of it by South By, but it's diluted a lot, and it makes the whole kind of navigation process pretty challenging. In that particular respect, it reminds me a little bit of going to the Council on Foundations, where, again, they're people you want to know, and there are great things going on, but finding them in the sea of the activities can be quite difficult. And I think we got a little bit better at that between the two conferences. And NetSquared, that's not really an issue because social movements and social change are much more fundamental to what they're doing, and most of the attendees are involved in that. I guess I have a very literal mind, and I think that the other thing that I want to say in response to your question is that there's societal change going on at South By, whether we like it or not, whether it's in the direction we like it or not. And it's quite rapid because it runs at the speed of the evolution of mobile and computer technologies, which is fast.
And this is Helen. I think I'd just like to underscore that and underscore why I think it's really important to go and experience it firsthand. I mean, we all know convergence is here. We all either like own or know people who own, smartphones and, use applications for everything imaginable. But to see it in the volume that you see it and the cultural shift that you see happening right before your eyes at South By is I think a really important experience for grant makers who fund in this area, and really no matter what you fund.
Thank you. Any other questions, John? Do you have more time or do you need to?
Yeah, I think I have about another 5 minutes. I mean, what I would say is I think that we have focused on this. We're trying to study this. We have improved our knowledge of it. I think our CHOPs still have a way to go. I still think that we need to be more sophisticated and learn more about this environment to do a really good job of giving away money in this space. But I'm just speaking purely for the five companies that I represent in this regard.
Well, if there's no one else immediately for questions, let's move on to Sarah Masters.
Thank
okay,
you.
And I'm going to say my farewells, but thanks very much for organizing this. I hope it
thanks,
is helpful.
John.
Thank you, John. I agree with John. South by Southwest, this is the first time that I attended from Hartley Film Foundation, was the rush of the new. I also thought it was the rush of the youth. I mean, it really seemed like there were out. I heard numbers around 20,000 for tech and film sections of South by Southwest. I felt like there were maybe 20 of us that were over the age of 45. But what I went for is last year when I went to the GFEM Open Society Institute, a two-day conference hosted by GFEM and Helen. I was just gobsmacked by the technological discussion, which went pretty much right over my head. And I went to Alice afterwards, and I said, help. And she said, go to South by Southwest. And so I did. I found it to be very helpful in framing for me what the current issues are for those that are oriented more towards tech. Hartley Film Foundation gives grants to documentary filmmakers, and so why would I be so interested in that? I felt it was so important that I start trying to get up to speed, that I didn't go to any of the films that were offered this year, although some of them are ones that I do want to see and need to see, because I found that my Achilles heel with the filmmakers that we support are issues related to distribution of their films, how to achieve maximum impact of their films in a multi-platform situation that is totally in flux. And we're also putting some of the films we've produced onto the web and need to know, I need to know much more clearly how to achieve maximum impact and how to make them available in streaming and download for rental and download for purchase. I also found that South by Southwest answered a key question that I was stuck on. I'd really been focusing on how to take the foundation to the next level nationally in terms of our visibility and our filmmakers and where we go with them to create a really constructive fiscal sponsorship program. And I realized that we're humming along, but where I haven't addressed much at all is in terms of international, and in order to do that, I'm going to have to educate myself much more fully about the technological issues, because otherwise any ideas that I have are not going to be cost-effective in any way. I found the breakfast with the other funders to be helpful, not just in terms of getting suggestions for what other funders thought to be important sessions of the day, and given, again, there are overwhelming number of choices every day, but also to find out what the other funders are doing and to see how we can coordinate our goals and synchronize our goals a little bit more. And the dinners, of course, were helpful in that direction. I agree that Joyita was a great, from Creative Commons, was an excellent speaker, very informative. I learned a lot. I focused with Helen on crowdsourcing. That seems to be a trend that could be very helpful to Hartley Film Foundation in terms of communities of folks who could serve as platforms for sourcing ideas for us and solutions for our foundation. I spent a lot of time writing technical lingo down, and I looked it up later, and that now I have my own little vocabulary or my dictionary growing here, and that's already been of help. I didn't find the industry booth, the trade show, to be of any particular interest to me personally, and I would agree with Helen's assessment of that. I was looking forward to it, but it really didn't plug into what we're doing. However, now that I'm beginning to think about an international reach, I think that I might revisit it next year in a different frame of mind and have a lot to learn. One particular session that I found of use in terms of how to put it all in context were the Ten Commandments for the Digital Age, such as the issue of scale to exalt a particular. Not everything that you see that's web-based fits into scales, and that's the way they tend to view things. Thou shall not be anonymous. They said it's great for drone pilots, but not for community and social connections. I was a little disappointed with the, as Helen mentioned, the third floor is hard to find, with the social change oriented sessions. They were very full, but the venues were so small that at one point I was standing in line waiting to get into one. They said nobody could go in, and there were more of us outside than inside, so a lot of the people just sat down and started to run their own session. So I think that's something that South by Southwest should be addressing, and I gave feedback to them on that. Privacy issues are big for me. Maybe I'm from the 1950s too, but I didn't like a lot of what I heard. However, I found it to be interesting. And that's pretty much what I got out of it. I would certainly attend again next year because I think it's necessary and one of the most helpful ways to keep me somewhat abreast of what's going on at such a rapid pace.
Thank you, Sarah. That's so helpful. Although I should say that I have a 1950s perspective on privacy as well, and I don't think that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, I'd like
to ask a question. That's the Barbara Pyle here. On the subject of international reach, with all of these new technologies, I come from a 50s mentality. We're either going to feed it by satellite in terms of a film, or we're going to ship tape for broadcast. Has this new technology reached the scale that they can stream broadcast quality images, films?
I don't know. Is anybody there in the tech side that can help with that? That's a great question.
It would be so cost efficient if we didn't have it. It would be just so cost efficient.
This is Alice. Yes. And can I point you to any place in particular? No, I can't. But yes, is the short answer. And it's something that we can look into for you if you would want us to do that.
I really would. I have always distributed internationally and funded international distribution, and I'm getting back into it now, and it would certainly, I'm just going through my library and finding all these boxes of PAL and CCAM and all of that stuff, you know, these beta tapes, and I'm wondering if I just throw them away.
Well, you know, the short answer is yes, you can get them all transferred to digital and throw the big bulky things that I too have in my closet away.
I'm doing that now. I'm transferring everything, all the whole library, and Captain Planet. It's this massive job.
By the way, I would like to welcome Barbara as the newest member of DFEM. She joined last week in New Orleans at the Katrina at 5 conference.
Great.
Thank you, Alice. That was a troubling conference.
I would like to actually hear from others on the call who attended South By what their impressions were. Jane? Are you still on the call?
Hello?
Jane?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Oops. Sorry. You know, this was my second experience at South by Southwest, and I find that overall, the quality of the sessions is extraordinarily uneven. I think we all process information differently, but there is, as several people have already said, a great value in just kind of being immersed in what feels like the future. And, considering your whatever it is that you fund or whatever direction that you are contemplating for your philanthropic efforts, kind of considering what does come out very strongly, even with the vast commercialism, kind of letting the future wash over whatever you're thinking about, I think has a value that is very hard to measure or pinpoint, but you can feel it once you've done it. I hope that's not too vague to be valuable. My experience this time, I attended some. Hello?
Yeah, we still got you.
Sorry, there's a lot of noise in between. I attended some sessions that were very valuable for me. Probably one that nobody else attended is a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, who has a site called the Wine Library, and he is a marketer. An extremely good marketer, but I really, that's not to say that those of us trying to change the world for the better can't benefit from the from understanding and experiencing how people in the more commercial world see and experience things. So, I would also encourage people who have not gone to come. The other thing that was valuable for me was to participate in some of the sessions and then also to schedule meetings with people, because it seems like most of the people that are doing interesting things or that you might want to engage with are South by Southwest is a place that people tend to come. So it was a very nice balance for me to have a number of meetings in addition to these massive ballrooms and where some of the content was extremely thought-provoking and some not so much. My two cents.
Thanks, Jane.
I also want to, this is Sarah with GFAM, I also want to open it up to questions about the delegation and the experience there, as well as what people would like to see from GFAM in the coming year to help make sense of all of this new media stuff, both the good and the bad of it. I'm hearing, you know, journalism and geolocation and privacy issues as sort of big themes of the call, but I'm wondering how people on the call are feeling about their needs for more information, particularly.
Well, this echoes a little bit. This is Bill O'Brien. Alex and I had a brief conversation earlier, and I think the context of your question sort of provides an entree to bring it up here with the larger group. And it folds in pretty well with some of the comments made earlier. One of the things that I told Alice that struck me was how looking at some of these emerging platforms and emerging, I guess you could say emerging art forms. I was talking specifically about a gaming panel that I went to that I thought was really fascinating. It was called With Great Power Comes Great Responsibility. And it was a panelists of gamers. It was funded by Discovery Magazine and the National Science Foundation. And it really kind of struck me that the kind of things that they were trying to forward tended to be the kinds of things that commercial interests wouldn't necessarily fund. and it reminded me about the whole notion of how nonprofit funding sort of started with the idea that in theater, for example, where I came from originally, nonprofit theater was argued as a necessity because if we just left commercial interests to drive everything, we'd end up with a lower art form than we could have if we really focused on the aesthetic and what the merits and the excellence of the artistic event itself was without necessarily just beholding it to whether or not it will sell. And I think that was my grand sort of reaction, too. There was an event that I couldn't go to, but I listened to later that really wraps this up. It was the Mark Cuban, Avner Ronin, Internet versus pay TV. And those two seem to be coming at this with such a different frame of mind. Mark Cuban is the epitome of the commercial interest, and he sort of mocked the idea that people would get involved in this stuff without an idea of how they would make money at the helm. And it's good to have those people in the same room together, I think, because there's a real pragmatic approach that you get from those commercial interests that's good to try and tap into. And at the same time, it was really good for me to see some of that altruistic energy still at work. You know, and it's in the fabric of everything that's going on there. But, I watched the Gowalla founder talk about how they still haven't figured out how to make money out of their application yet. And they seemed a little embarrassed by that, but at the same time, they didn't seem entirely driven by it. They just thought it was really cool to be developing this in a way that seems to catch on and has a need. I think he's probably still thinking about how he can make money off of it, but I think, just to summarize, the notion that in gaming and in some of these other emerging medias that we're looking at when we go to a place like South by Southwest Interactive, for me, it was an opportunity to really meditate on where our position is in trying to support the stuff that's going to have civic value. Because, you know, Pepsi will take care of its own, but there may be people in these rooms that have really good ideas that might not be commercially viable, but that if we figure out who they are and how we can best support them, we'd be doing society a favor.
Bill, I think that, you know, sort of hits to one of the points that Sarah made, and one of the things that we're advocating is that funders really think about the value of crowdsourcing for problem solving. And I think that because we're in such a globally connected world, there are opportunities for funders to spark innovation to address some of these seemingly intractable problems. One of the sessions that comes to mind for me is the Africa 3.0 session that really talked about projects that have been developed in past South By as well as NetSquared, like Ushahidi and Africa, APPFRICA, that are being used across the continent of Africa that were created through crowdsourcing, or their end product is a crowdsourced product that address issues of conflict resolution or water resources. These applications have been redeployed and used in Haiti after the earthquake to identify where health centers are, where food supplies are, where people are stranded. So I think that yes, we need to get over the commercial stuff, and there are really, really wonderful things available that need, you know, some thinking and some re-adoption or adaption to very good for the social interest.
We are coming to the end of our time, so I want to open it up to any last questions or comments or requests, even for more information. I'm happy. I will be getting notes together, and I'll certainly work with Helen on getting the best of the web clips to folks. Any other last questions or comments?
Pam, do you have any thoughts?
I just wanted to put it out there. Thank you, Alice, that if people have questions about how to access some of the resources that we've talked about during the call, please feel free to be in touch with us. From my perspective as staff, it was a really wonderful experience to be there with the group of funders. I felt that there was great dialogue that happened. My consciousness was raised. I heard some other people talk about the learning that happened for them. And so just in terms of the network that was established going forward, I do hope that people will continue to call on us and see us as a network of thinkers and actors in this field. And in terms of the comparison to the previous year, I do think that the sort of advancements in the programming attention to media and technology for the social good is moving in the right direction in that space, and I think our presence there and feedback really helps to shape that going forward. I was impressed, actually, that it was overflowing in terms of the rooms that were set aside for us for the social good aspects of the conference, and I think that it's important that we show up, that it's important that we engage in this dialogue going forward.
I have a last question. Barbara Pyle, I really would like to know more about the value of digitization for film distribution. I know that we have the value of digitization and creating a digital library is imperative for the but at Crawford Media Management Lab, they have an entire book, and what they do is they take your digital files and they dump them back to tape for distribution. Now, how 90s is that? I mean, is that what's really happening, that we're dumping back to tape for distribution?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think
that's an exceptional circumstances, but no, the tape, because of its instability, is really an obsolete platform for storage and even for shipping at this point. Cheryl Jones, did you have any comments? This was your first year as a GFEM staffer in attending.
Only that I would echo what Pam said, and it was a pleasure meeting everyone, and I look forward to the next one.
Thanks, Pam. Alice, do you have any final announcements or final words or thoughts?
Final announcements, I hope that I see some of you, if not all of you, at the Council on Foundations, where we have our film and video festival, and two really terrific films that are Henry Hampton Award winners, one of which, The Reckoning, has been reversioned and has a remarkable web platform called IJ Central. And The Reckoning tells the story of the creation of the International Criminal Court. And the IJ Central is a site that is crowdsourced of human rights abuses, as well as news and information on the court itself. And having listened to John Bolton this past weekend on C-SPAN, the issues and the United States' interests and responsibilities as it relates to the International Criminal Court is still very active. So that film is going to be screened, as well as A Village Called Versailles, which is about the Vietnamese community in the New Orleans East area of New Orleans and how they had to manage during Katrina, and to the point where some of them found themselves back in the same refugee camps where they were housed during the 70s. And then how they came together and advocated against the city of New Orleans when the city wanted to build a waste dump in their neighborhood. The Media Democracy Fund and GFEM will be holding our second annual funder conversation in June at OSI on the 9th and 10th, and we hope to be screening Erasing David on the evening of the 8th, so stay tuned for that. And I think those are all of our immediate announcements, but, you know, watch your email, open your newsletter, and stay up to date with what's going on.
Thank you, Alice. All right, well, that's a wrap. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us, and I will be sure to send out notes and thoughts and resources accordingly.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.